That's 1 Peter chapter 5, reading from verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is God's word. Let's pray that he'll give us the ability to hear and understand. Heavenly Father, we know that your word is good because you are good. Give us hearts now to understand, hearts to accept, hearts to respond to what you've said to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so soon we will elect new elders in the congregation. And this is actually a really important moment in the life of our church. Did you know that the last time we appointed new elders in this way was in 2001? And in our system, elders are elected for life. Did you know that one of our elders has been faithfully serving Jesus in this role since 1976? Figure that out. How many years' service is that? 41 years. So, hands up. 41 years ago, hands up if you were a voting member of this church. Yeah, so we have a few, but not many. So I just want you to realize that the decisions we're making over the next few weeks are decisions which don't just affect us, but which affect future generations in the church. It's a big thing. And so what I want to do for the next 2 weeks is to look at some of the Bible's teaching about elders to help us make godly decisions about who should be appointed as new elders, extra elders in our church. Next week, I'm going to preach on that passage in 1 Timothy, which gives a list of all the sort of qualities that a person that we choose as an elder should have. But this week, I want to ask a more basic question than who should we choose. This week, I want to look at these verses that I just read out from 1 Peter. These verses which are addressed especially to elders. And I want us to try and understand the role of an elder. I want us to ask, well, what is an elder supposed to do? I mean, you may have seen the elders as the ones who come up and shake hands with people after they've been baptized, or the ones who pass around the bread and wine at the Lord's Supper, but there's a lot more to it than that. In our passage this morning, I want to point out four things about the role of an elder. I want to point out that elders are in a team. Elders are like shepherds. Elders are examples. And elders are under authority. And if you've got a Bible within reach, it'll be really helpful if you can have it open in front of you at 1 Peter chapter 5, page 1388, because I'm just going to go through this verse by verse. Now, what is this thing that we're reading? This is a letter. This part of it is addressed to the elders amongst you, but who's writing it? If you go back a couple of pages to the start of this, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, the author identifies himself. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So who's writing this? Peter, the friend of Jesus. Peter, the witness, the one who saw Jesus arrested, the one who saw Jesus sentenced to death. Peter, the one who saw Jesus after he'd come alive again. This is Peter, the apostle. This is Peter, you know, the one who in those earliest stories we have of the church in Jerusalem after Jesus went up to heaven. Peter, who stood up front and did most of the talking. That's the Peter who's writing this. But do you see, in verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, how he describes himself? He says, to the elders among you, I appeal as, what? A fellow elder. So he's not writing as someone who considers himself higher or greater or more important than the other elders that he's writing to. He's not writing as if he's the commander-in-chief. He's speaking to colleagues. Because even though Peter was the guy that you saw up front most of the time in those early days, he was working as part of a team. After Jesus went up to heaven, Peter served as part of a team with 11 other men in the church in Jerusalem. And when Peter moved on to take the gospel to other places, who was left behind? It wasn't just one person left behind looking after things. It was a team. You could see that. You could look at, for example, Acts chapter 11, verse 30, and you could see that it was the elders who were responsible for the church in Jerusalem. And so, as Peter writes this letter to these Christians in other places, he assumes that these churches will have a number of elders, a team of elders. Now, I realize this is a very Presbyterian point to make, but it is in this verse. It's a reminder that the churches that the apostles left behind didn't just have one pastor who controlled everything. Maybe later in history there was a tendency to lift particular people up as bishops and as popes. But Peter didn't expect that the church would be a one-man band. In our church, I'm not managing director. I'm one member of a team. You could kind of say we have five elders in our church, myself and four others. And we work on caring for Jesus' people together. And that maybe explains why if sometimes you've come up to me and said, hey, can the church do this or can the church do that? If I don't say yes to you straight away, that doesn't mean I don't like your idea. Maybe it means that I'm wanting to work as a team. I'm wanting to go and talk with the other elders and work it through with them. I'm glad of the fact that there's a team to work with because I know myself as an individual how flawed I am. I know, like any leader, that there are so many ways that I don't have wisdom to always make good and right decisions. I know that often I'll only pick up one point of view on an issue and maybe miss other important angles. And of course, there's the other benefit of a team is that there's far too much work for one person to do it all on their own. So we have a team of elders. But what are the team of elders trying to do? This is the second point, and we get into the start of verse 2. What Peter wants these elders to do is be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Did you pick up in our three Bible readings, did you pick up the common thread that ran through each of them? What was it that turned up in each reading? It was that the leaders amongst God's people were described as shepherds. Their job was described like a shepherd's job. And those three passages that we read, they're just a sample. I found 20 different parts of the Bible where the leaders of God's people are described as shepherds. So it's this illustration that just gets used again and again and again in the Bible. So let's think about that. What is it about a shepherd that is such a good picture of what God wants for his people? Well, as I've looked through the Bible's teaching, I think there's at least three things about a shepherd that give us a good picture of godly leadership. But the first one is that a shepherd who's doing his job takes the sheep to where the good grass is. That's what a good shepherd does. Do you remember, after Jesus rose from the dead, he met with Peter. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know that I love you." And then what did Jesus say? Does anyone remember? Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." John chapter 21, verse 17. "Peter, feed my sheep." Okay, how can Peter do that? What does Jesus really mean by this? Surely if you follow through the story, the main way to feed God's people is with the gospel. The gospel, the good news, the bread of eternal life. The good news of God's grace in Jesus, what God has done for us. That's the real food that we need. And so the elders must work together to lead people to the gospel. The elders will do this through their words. And the elders will do this by trying to steer the organization of the church to be gospel-focused. Okay, so good shepherd leads people to grass. Another thing a good shepherd does is a good shepherd protects the sheep from danger. Like in the kids' talk, he protects them from wild animals. Now we've got to think, well, what would that mean in the church for a church leader? Surely it means that elders must be alert to any teacher or teaching that drags people away from the gospel of Jesus. Do you remember in our Bible reading from Acts, Paul said this to the elders, Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Paul said, "Be careful, because savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them." And so we want elders who won't let just anybody teach in the church and who want to know what's going on in the various groups of our church. That's why another name for elder in the New Testament is overseer. Sometimes they're called elders, sometimes they're called overseers. It's like they're watching. They're seeing what's going on. Okay, the third thing that a good shepherd does is he brings back sheep that wander away. And for elders, maybe that means if you've been away for a few weeks, just a phone call to see, you know, how are you going? Is it everything okay? Or maybe even if you're coming to church and that's all fine, but they see something in your life which looks like it's drifting away from the gospel of Jesus, from the way of Jesus, from the lifestyle of following Jesus. You want an elder who will actually say, "Hey, let's have a coffee. Let's talk about this." We want shepherds who will bring us back. It has to be done. It has to be done so gently, so carefully, so sensitively, because we don't want to act with good intentions and end up pushing people away. Which is why Peter goes on to talk about the attitude of an elder. How in their attitude, elders must be examples to God's people. It's not just enough to tell God's people, "This is how you live a life which honours Jesus." Elders need to show it. In Australia, we don't really have shepherds, proper shepherds in Australia. In Australia, we have drovers. You know the drover, the guy with the hat, and he rides a horse, and he kind of rides around on his horse behind the sheep and whoosh, whoosh, cracks his whip and goes like, "Sheep, go over there, go over there." That's a drover. But in the Middle East, where they have shepherds, it works a little bit differently. In the Middle East, the shepherd walks in front of his sheep and says, come on, follow me. I'll take you where the good grass is." And so verses 2 and 3, there are ways listed here that elders should be examples. There's three pairs of things. There's not this, but this. Not this, but this. Not this, but this. And so the first pair, not because you must, but because you are willing. An elder should be an example of willingness. If someone doesn't really want to serve the church, but they kind of get talked into doing it anyway, very quickly that can become a heavy load. Very quickly that can make the person bitter, and they can be a drag on those around them. So an elder needs to be someone who says, yes, the work of the gospel is good, I want to be a part of it. The second pairing, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. And so you don't go into a position of leadership in the church just because it's a job, just because it brings an income, especially in this elders' election, since we're calling for the election of volunteer elders. So it would be pretty futile. But the broader point of this is, don't go into leadership for what you might get. Go into leadership for what you might give. Don't become an elder because you think, oh, if I was an elder, I would be more satisfied and I'd be more respected and maybe I'd feel a bit more important. Wrong reason. Become an elder because of others. Become an elder because, like Jesus, you look, wow, there's a crowd of people who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, the final pair here in verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. Maybe we can just look at these two pictures. Tell me, which of these two pictures better describes what an elder should be? Red one or green one? Green one, colours give it away. By the way, this passage is written especially to elders, but this principle of leadership, of servant leadership, can be applied to other leadership positions that you might have. Your leadership positions in the home or the family as mothers or fathers. Your position as at work as a boss or a supervisor. You can be a servant rather than a lord over somebody. This can apply to church life. If you're someone who's taking a lead in ministry teams or projects or things that are happening in church, we can apply this principle to other things, because this kind of attitude, this goes back to who God is. This principle of servant leadership comes from the fact that the Lord is our shepherd. Before there were elders in the church, the Lord came as our example. He came as a servant who laid down his life for his sheep. And that brings us to our last point. Elders are under authority. It's interesting in verse 3. It says, not lording it over those entrusted to you. So it describes that the people in the church as those entrusted to you. What does that mean? Say I give you my keys. I say, this set of keys is very important to me. Please look after it. Please don't lose it. I'm going to come back later and get it from you. What have I just done? I've entrusted you with my keys. They're not yours. They're mine. But you're looking after them. And so Jesus has entrusted his people to the care of shepherds. And he'll come back to collect what's his. Jesus is the chief shepherd, and elders in the church are under shepherds who will have to give an answer to Jesus. Now, there may be, as we've gone through this morning, there may be somebody sitting there in church thinking, oh, actually, wow, that being an elder, that sounds really serious. In fact, you've just scared me right off ever becoming an elder. I don't know, somebody might be thinking that. And let me say, being an elder is a serious thing. It's not just a badge of achievement in the church, it's a call to be a servant. Whoever becomes an elder will actually need to make it a pretty high priority in life. I mean, highest priority is your own spiritual devotion to the Lord and caring for your family. But then your responsibilities as an elder come pretty high up behind them. And so, yes, this is a serious thing. I mean, being a Christian and serving Jesus is a serious thing. But the purpose of this passage is not to scare anybody away. That's not what Peter's trying to do. Peter's saying, yeah, elders, you answer to Jesus. You take that seriously. But Peter's also reminding us what kind of boss Jesus is. What kind of boss is Jesus? Is he a fair boss? Is he a sympathetic boss? Is he a helpful boss? Is he a generous boss to those who trust him? Yes, all of the above. And so Peter says, when the chief shepherd, verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So this finishes with an encouragement to elders. That elders, whatever you might need to sacrifice, whatever you might invest, whatever you might give of yourself for God's sheep is more than worth it in the end. Because when Jesus comes back, he brings a reward which will never fade away. The hardships, the struggles, the disappointments of today will one day fade away. But what Jesus brings will never fade away. Okay, so elders are in a team. Elders are shepherds. Elders are examples. Elders are under authority. We'll do more next week. Friends, will you pray for our elders? Charles Spurgeon once said, we cannot all be leaders, but we can all be pleaders. We can't all be leaders, but we can all be pleaders. Will you pray for our serving elders? Will you pray that God will give them wisdom and energy and patience and encouragement? And will you pray that God will raise up new elders who will share in this work in a way that honours Jesus? Will you pray that God will give you wisdom to vote for the man of his choosing? Now, when I say, will you pray for the elders? I'm not suggesting, oh, please God help the elders, amen. No, I'm suggesting really pray. Think now. What is there a day this week where you can set aside time to pray for our current and future elders? Maybe a day where you can open up 1 Peter chapter 5 and pray for God's grace to work itself out in all these ways. Maybe there's you could open up Acts chapter 20 and all of those things. Pray through those things. Pray that God will raise up elders to care for his precious sheep. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you care for your people. You sent your Son. You sent Jesus as the great shepherd. He gave his life for us. Father, we thank you that you raise up elders as an expression of your care and concern for your people. We pray for those who have been serving in the role for a long time. We pray that you will empower them by your Spirit to serve willingly and selflessly and humbly. Father, we ask that you'll give us wisdom as we seek new elders. We ask that you will raise up godly men to share in this work. Father, we pray that for each of us, you'll teach us to follow Christ's example of humility and of putting others first and of self-sacrificial love. Teach us to look to him and rely on him and not on ourselves. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.